outlined against a blue gray sky, the horsemen ride again. Yes, Grandland sees the Irish shine, their time has come to win. In the polo grounds the spirits stir, and you feel a shiver when the horsemen herd comes thundering by, and the Irish rise again.
Hello, Notre Dame Nation. Welcome back to Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. It's been a little while, but we are back and ready to start Season 6 of Notre Dame coverage on Down the Line. Tim Daniel here. So excited to be back and so excited to hear these wonderful gentlemen's voices, starting with the godfather of the new ND Nation, Jason Cripe.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy to be here again. It's been a few minutes since we've been on the air, but man, I am pumped. I am primed. We're getting ready for some Notre Dame football to get in the books. Man, I'm hyped.
He sounds hyped. And who else to bring on who a guy I've struggled for 6 years to find a proper introduction for? But heck, let's just call him by his Twitter handle. He is the man cave quarterback himself, none other than Mr. Steve Herring.
What is up, Irish fans? I cannot believe we are only a few weeks away from a Sunday kickoff. Man, great summer, great being a dad, and I'm super jacked for this season, as I know everyone else is. So good to hear you guys' voices, and good to have you all back, loyal listeners.
Yeah, man. So we're so stoked to be back. Let you know, we have a huge show as we're getting ready. Like Steve said, not too far away, man, from a Sunday night debut. Notre Dame in Texas, under the lights, on ABC, on Labor Day weekend. So there's nothing else going on that night. It's going to break records, I'm telling you, in viewing, for sure there. We are going to let you know what's going on with today's show. To get you ready for Texas, we're going to start a new segment this season called Know Your Enemy. And we're going to start tonight with Wes Scott Ebers, the editor of BurntOrangeNation.com from SB Nation. He's going to give us his thoughts on Texas, what he expects going to this Notre Dame game. And that is one of two interviews we have on today's show. As Steve Herring, the man cave quarterback, has started an awesome segment he's going to be doing here. We're still working on the name, but he's going to be interviewing former Notre Dame linebacker, former team captain Joe Schmidt. I listened to the interview before we got on. It is outstanding. We cannot wait to share it with you guys. So let's get to it, gentlemen. First off, Jason, let's get with you, man. How was the summer? What'd you do this summer?
You know what, man? I didn't do a whole lot of much. I'm in the RV industry again, so the summer is pretty much just full of model change and all sorts of running around and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've been paying attention to Notre Dame football as much as I can, some other sports as well. My Cubbies are kicking ass, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun summer, actually, really.
Awesome, man. Steve, Andrew's getting a little older now. So I think he's getting hit close to the big one, if I have my months correct. So how was first summer of being a dad, man?
It has been phenomenal. A couple family trips and another big one next week to Disney World. He's starting to walk around a little bit and say dada, and he's obsessed with the swimming pool, so we get him out in the pool as much as possible, and he pretty much takes a bath every single day because he'll sit in the tub for 45 minutes and just play with toys. Everything's good, and you're right. He will unbelievably be a year old in about 4 weeks. He's 2 weeks or 4 weeks from 2 days ago.
That's awesome.
Time flies, man.
That's
awesome.
It flies
by, brother. It flies by. I cherish it.
Yeah, and then I guess for me, can I cheat plug myself here? Is that cool?
Go for it.
Yeah, so for those who do know, I worked this summer on different podcasts. I've been doing quite a bit there. So I've been doing the Men in Stripes Cincinnati Bengals show since January now. So we kept that going through the summer, getting ready for training camp and getting ready for that season. But started an NBA show with a couple of my best friends called The Corner 3, which has taken off and done awesome things. We're working week in, week out. I'm literally recording two episodes after we get off Down the Line tonight, so I'm going to be busy tonight. Steve, I don't know if you're still following your Clippers as hard, but I might need you here in a couple weeks for a Clippers preview.
I don't know if I'm quite going to be the right guy. I know they added Festus Ezeli. We'll see how DeAndre Jordan finishes out the Olympics, but I don't know if I'm the right guy to be doing Clippers previews. I don't know if I watched a whole NBA game except for the finals last year.
Yeah, so started that show there. Actually went and saw Team USA play at the United Center in Chicago. That was my first trip to the UC, so I finally got to see the infamous Michael Jordan statue, so that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, not a whole lot. Didn't really go to as many baseball games as I normally do. Worked a lot and kept doing the podcast thing, so it was a good summer, man, but I'm glad to be back here starting back up. And, gentlemen, I guess it's pretty easy to say we can start the news on quarterback talk, because what else do we talk about when we talk Notre Dame, right? So Brian Kelly says today that he expects Malik Zaire and DeShone Kizer to both take snaps in Texas and both play. So whether you're Team Kizer or Team Malik, in the infamous words of the great Dwayne Johnson, it doesn't matter, because you're going to see both of those guys this year on the field. Kind of what we expected, I think. You know, even though Brian Kelly said back at the draft he expected to have only one leader of this team moving forward, but I'm not shocked. If you have two incredibly talented kids like you do, I feel like you have to make them both count and they get their reps in there. So, you know, normally I'm on the side of if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. But how often do college teams have two quarterbacks like this? So, Jason, I guess you want to give your thoughts first, because we know you've never been shy about being Team Malik. Your reaction, what you thought about the news?
Much like you, Tim, I really was not surprised at all to hear that announcement that both quarterbacks would take a snap against Texas. Now it's just who's going to start. Now that's the buzz. Now that this news is a couple hours old, now everyone in the Twitter sphere or, you know, in social media is, okay, well, who's going to start? Who's going to start? Who cares? It doesn't matter. But, you know, with that being said, Brian Kelly is very good at using two quarterbacks. We saw it in Cincinnati with Zach Kolaros and the other kid.
Tony Pike.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, that guy. Pike. I can't believe I didn't remember that. But so he's done this before. He knows how to utilize both players and both of their skill sets. I just don't think this is going to be... I honestly, guys, when I heard it, I wasn't completely shocked. Maybe a touch surprised, because I figured that they would have named a starting quarterback by now. But I think this is really an experiment. I think that Brian Kelly's got to get both these guys on the field and see what they can do and then go from there. I don't think this is going to be something that lasts throughout the whole season.
I don't know, man. I think this is a situation where it could. Like, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. I kind of expect both these guys to get drafted in April if they have strong campaigns. I think Steve, you and I have both mentioned that we feel like DeShone Kizer is a first-round draft pick, so I think that's kind of a part of that there. But it makes sense to me if this is something that goes forward. My concern is rhythm is only my main concern about two, because we know the talent's there between the two guys. We know they're going to go out there, and if they have a chance, they're going to make plays. But other than that, you know, Steve, how were your feelings there? What were your thoughts on it?
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to go on the other side of the fence. If I'm in Austin, Texas, getting ready to play the Irish, this is some bulletin board material for Charlie Strong, his staff, and the guys in that locker room. And that you could look at it and say, look, this team beat our butts last year on national TV, and they are treating this game as a continued scrimmage to get ready for the rest of the season. They think they get to play two quarterbacks, and both of them will be successful, and this is a practice for Notre Dame, and I don't like that. And I've been very strong. I love Malik Zaire. I love what he brings. I think the running game may be a little bit better with him there, but of an overall offense, I'm very firm in my belief that DeShone Kizer is a borderline prodigy, borderline top five, number one overall pick prospect over the next two drafts, and maybe the best draft prospect in college football this year. And I think he can make. If he continues to get better, his ceiling is so much higher. Said it a million times, but I don't like the fact that Charlie Strong gets to sit there in front of his guys for the next few days and say, they are not taking you seriously. We have an opportunity to make a statement about our season as if 9 months of preparation, really a year since Notre Dame just took him to the woodshed. This is going to be a motivated team, and this adds on to that. And that's part of football, and I don't love it. I don't think that you can go a whole 12-game season playing two QBs, but they got some time to work the kinks out before Michigan State.
Yeah, they do. That's a big one there. Obviously, you know, you have Stanford coming up with Heisman sensation Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if you guys heard about him or not. He's apparently pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I see both points of it, obviously, but I just feel like, I mean, it's such a tough thing because, like you said, both kids are so good, both kids can do big things, and both kids are so talented that it does make that decision hard. But I'm with you on that side, Steve. I've never shied away from that. I feel like Kaiser's got the higher ceiling, and I think that we've seen that quite a bit. And that's not in any more shape or form disrespect to Malik. I know Malik hasn't had as many opportunities as Deshaun, obviously, but still, you know, certain that, like, that's the case there. Other thing that, you know, really stands out is what we're reading is kind of the, how are we filling the shoes of Will Fuller? You're hearing about Torrey Hunter just having this excellent camp. Miles Boykin being a big play. I don't know if you guys saw that video yet from camp there where he made that one-handed catch. It was, it's what you call ridiculous, folks. That kid's going to be a baller. But, yeah, certainly some situations there where we got some guys to look forward to. The running game, obviously, we're talking about a three-headed monster. I think the Subway Domer's been all about that three-headed monster over there. So if you've been reading his posts, at 1 foot down. Is that where he's at?
He's at 1 foot down, and I know the other podcast with Wes, he used to be with us for Newt School Fool. He's been posting some charts on the importance of Brian Kelly and running the dang football.
Wes? No way!
Yeah, what? He's a fan.
Running the football is important?
Wes is all about run the damn ball, man. I think he might have that tattooed on him.
Run the damn ball.
I think he has that tattooed on him. I'm not going to lie.
On his forehead, maybe.
Right.
Or right under the Hello Kitty tattoo on his butt cheek. But yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I wasn't supposed to say that.
All right.
That's great.
Well, that's...
It'll be all right.
That's odd. So...
Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and reiterate here. This is Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. We are back for our next season. Here in just a couple minutes, we will be joined by our first guest of the night. He is the host of BurntOrigination.com. He runs their site there. Holy moly. Westcott Eberts is his name. I lost it there for a second. I feel terrible. So they are a team that's had a very interesting offseason as well. You talk about everything that happened at Baylor. We're going to touch on that with him, I'm sure. And you talk about just reaping the benefits of that. Charlie Strong's been the guy. They're a team that a lot of people are saying this is a make-or-break year for Charlie Strong as he's continuing this transition from the Mac Brown era into his era. So going to touch with that for a few minutes as well and get him on here. So we'll go ahead and make that call here in just a moment.
Well, let me ask you guys a question before we get into this.
All right, everyone, so this is this year's first installment of Know Your Enemy, a segment we're going to bring to the show this year. And we're going to start by talking Week 1 Texas with Westcott Ebers of BurntOrangeNation.com. Thanks so much for joining us. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty well. How y'all doing?
Not bad. Really glad to have you here. It gets us started here. So let's jump right into the interview. First question we have, you know, Texas had a very interesting offseason with players coming and going. And the big point, segment of that big group comes from Baylor and everything that's been happening there. And Charlie Strong definitely getting some of those players in. I mean, he's definitely reaped some benefits. How big of an impact on Texas was the Baylor scandal this season, this summer?
It definitely had a pretty significant impact on the Longhorns. If you throw in graduate transfer kicker Trent Domain, who came over from LSU for kind of unrelated reasons, Charlie Strong said that, you know, he had three big needs coming out of spring practice, and the place kicker addressed one of those needs, and then wide receiver Devin Duvernay, who was the number four player in his position in the country, he addressed one of those needs, and then Patrick Hudson, an offensive guard, he was the number two offensive guard in the country, he was another guy who addressed those needs. So, you know, definitely not very often where you can come out of spring and already have your recruiting class in place and then be able to make three big additions like that. And you know, I think Duvernay and Domain are the two guys that are going to have the biggest impact there. But Texas just suffered an ankle injury to their starting right tackle, Tristan Nicholson. So there's a chance that Patrick Hudson could get a little bit of run early in the season if Nicholson can't get back in time.
You know, we did see as we were getting ready, but doing some research here. You mentioned those guys coming in from Baylor in the wide receiver position. Was that mainly the reason we see DeAndre McNeil not being back in Texas next year?
I'm not really sure how much competition played a role in that. McNeil, the sophomore, was suspended indefinitely for violating team rules. It's not clear exactly what happened. Charlie Strong said at the start of fall camp that they were still gathering facts about it, which is, you know, kind of interesting. And I think McNeil ultimately decided to move on in what was likely a pretty mutual decision on both sides. But that was a behavioral issue. I don't think that really had very much to do with competition.
Awesome. So, you know, that's kind of what was interesting there, like I said, with a little different change there. So where are you at currently with this Texas team as we're a couple weeks away from Notre Dame? You know, this is a team, obviously, we know what happened last year. It was a big win for Notre Dame. Malik Zaire makes his debut really as the starting quarterback, a huge starting there. Texas struggles in that game. Where would you say this team is now compared to that team that went into South Bend Week 1 last year?
Well, you can't see me right now, but I'm twitching a little bit bringing up last year's game. Texas is in a much better spot this year. Last year, I think one of the big issues definitely was the offensive identity or the complete and total lack of it. Charlie Strong decided that he was going to keep Sean Watson around and bring in Jay Norvell and Jeff Traylor to see if he could, you know, try to run a more up-tempo offense. Sean Watson doesn't really have very much experience with that, and he wasn't really very comfortable installing that offense, and y'all kind of saw how that went. This year, Texas has Sterling Gilbert as the offensive coordinator. He's a guy who runs the veer and shoot offense that Art Briles ran at Baylor before he was terminated. You know, they have a lot more depth than they did last year because of their recruiting class. All the young players that played so much so early last year. I know a guy like Malik Jefferson probably flashed to you guys with that big hit that he had early in the game. Guys are more experienced. And, you know, the addition of Shane Buechele, who may or may not be the starter, gives the Longhorns a guy who's a little bit more steady and a little bit more accurate at the quarterback position than what Texas had last year with Gerard Hurd and Tyrone Swoops.
Well, and this is Jason here. We talked about Charlie Strong a little bit, and I know that going into last season when he took over the program, he was very, very vocal and very dominant as far as guys who broke rules were out of there. I mean, and we saw that. It was evident that he's cleaned up that program. But from, let's say, from last season to this season, are you seeing Charlie Strong as a great commander on out there, or are there still misgivings about Charlie Strong? Because believe me, I know he's a great coach.
Excuse me. I think some people are still in wait-and-see mode a little bit with Charlie Strong. You know, after two seasons where he went 11-14, there's definitely a lot of pressure on him to be able to win some games this year and show some improvement. But, you know, I think this team has really started to come together. Other than McNeil, he hasn't really had any major disciplinary issues really in the last 2 years since he had to suspend a couple guys, you know, and ultimately dismiss one at the start of the 2014 season. So the guys are really buying into what he's selling a lot better now. And I think one of the things that stands out to me in you know, hearing Strong talking about this team, the upperclassmen finally understand what he wants from them. And so, you know, when a new coach arrives, they have to spend a lot of time kind of establishing the culture and laying the groundwork with their players for what they want out of them. And now Strong says that the upperclassmen are starting to police the younger classmen. And so he doesn't really have to do as much talking from that disciplinary side. But, you know, I really like Charlie Strong. And I think he's a pretty genuine, good guy. And I think he's a very good defensive football coach. He made a lot of bad decisions on offense, pretty much all of them, really, I think, leading up, you know, to landing Sterling Gilbert. And certainly that wasn't without a lot of drama, too, as Gilbert initially turned him down, and Strong and the president and the athletic director and the tight ends coach, Jeff Traylor, had to fly up to Tulsa to go get Gilbert and his offensive line coach, Matt Maddox, who's been with him for a long time. And they date back to their days in Houston, knowing each other under Art Briles over 10 years ago now. So I think that was the really critical thing that needed to happen. They needed to finish well on National Signing Day. They did that, and, you know, as we talked about earlier, they had the added bonus of picking up five players over the summer.
Well, and another thing we want to talk about, because we touched on this right off the top of the show, was the fact that now Brian Kelly in the past, I mean, what, 4 hours, has come out and said that both Malik Zaire and DeShone Kizer will be taking snaps against Texas. How do you feel about that? Do you think this is just I mean, where's your head at as far as Brian Kelly going to run two very capable quarterbacks in that game?
Yeah, I don't know. This may be a little bit of gamesmanship. Charlie Strong has certainly been engaging in this, you know, over the last few days as well. He said originally that he wanted to name a starting quarterback early in camp, and now he basically says that he doesn't want Notre Dame to know what they're going to do. So this may be kind of Brian Kelly's response to it. I know that the Notre Dame quarterbacks weren't very happy about it. I think Zaire said he's going to have to make chicken salad out of chicken crab because of this. But, you know, I think that, you know, both of those guys definitely present different dangers to the Texas offense. And given the struggles that Texas had in containing running quarterbacks last year, especially on third down, I think it would definitely make sense to give Malik Zaire a chance to be out there and hurt Texas with his legs.
And just to verify here, just got a reset here, we are on the phone with Westcott Eberts of BurntOrangeNation.com, a Texas site there. So, you know, as we look also, you're talking about some different transitions, different changes. You mentioned a quarterback situation there. And you mentioned Jerod Hurd, who played a little bit against Notre Dame last year in that game. Looking like he's making the transition to wide receiver. Just curious your thought, you know, is that a much better fit for him? Is that something where he could possibly be to a lesser extent, Braxton Miller, because he's just an out-of-this-world athlete?
I think it's a very good move for Jerod Hurd. Hurd was a guy who had some good attributes as a quarterback. Certainly his legs were the number one thing. And you know, he was also very good throwing deep passes, which is a little bit of a surprise kind of from what he did in high school. But I think the major issue for him, other than really being able to spin the ball consistently, was just a lack of processing speed when he was out on the field. And, you know, in watching clips from practice, he looks much more natural at wide receiver. He's a guy they list him at 6'3". I don't think he's quite that tall, but he's really athletic. There's one picture of him in practice going up to catch a pass where, you know, he had to have been about 40 inches off the ground when he caught the football. And, you know, it really showed some ability to make people miss after the catch, catching short passes and, really showing off his lateral quickness and first step quickness and being able to, you know, get away from people. And so, you know, I'm not sure how long it will take for him to transition to wide receiver. He was playing there some this summer. So, you know, he's not coming into the fall camp without having played wide receiver, you know, before. But there is a fair amount of competition there. I just think that Jerod Hurd has so much natural ability at that position that, at some point this season, he's going to be able to make an impact there, catching passes for the Longhorns.
And Wes, my last thing for you, before we let you out here, and again, thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. How do Texas fans right now look at this Notre Dame team that knows that the team they saw last year is not going to be the same? There's no Jalen Smith. There's no Kevaya Russell. There's no Joe Schmidt. There's no Will Fuller now. You know, how do Texas fans look at this Notre Dame team, knowing that they're still pretty deep, but they did lose a lot of big name players in the draft?
Yeah, I think there's a definite opportunity for Texas. There are a lot of guys that were gone. Brian Kelly certainly has done a really excellent job recruiting, but you know, those losses at wide receiver, especially, and then losing guys like Corey Robinson and Alize Jones, the tight end. It gives Texas an opportunity to match up a little bit better with Notre Dame than they would have if maybe some of those guys that have stuck around or been able to play this season. So, you know, looking at the FPI projections from ESPN, they give Texas a 54% chance of winning the game. That seems higher than I think most Texas fans would really expect. And, you know, Notre Dame, I think, is going to have an excellent season. FPI puts them a little bit closer to 20 than some of the polls do that have them right outside the top 10. But it's going to be a really big challenge for Texas. And, you know, with the national stage of playing on a Sunday night and being the only game on, there's also some pretty high stakes and a lot of pressure going into a season where, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Charlie Strong really needs to show substantive improvement to prove to the Texas administration that he deserves a fourth season in Austin.
Yeah, absolutely there. So, Wes, thanks again so much for joining us. We really enjoyed having you. Thanks for being the guinea pig on Know Your Enemy for the TNNDN Network this week. We're going to go ahead and give you the floor here to give out your shout-outs on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, however people can get a hold of you, and also give a chance to shout out the website.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys. You know, website, beerandorangenation.com, head on there, all the latest. Texas news, and, you know, Notre Dame fans, get ready for the game. Facebook, Beer and Orange Nation, like that page, get all the updates on there. And if you want to find me on Twitter and holler at me, SBN_Westcott, WESCOTT.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for your time, man. Best of luck to you guys in a couple weeks, and hopefully we can do a recap sometime soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Best of luck to you all.
And that was our first Know Your Enemies segment. Thank you to Tim Daniel for getting Burn Orange Nation on the line. And now we're going to lead in. I've got one of Notre Dame Nation's favorite, now new alumni sons, Joe Schmidt, captain last year, two-year starter. So jacked to have him on. So this is the first installment of 2016's temporary title, 5th and 10. What you're going to hear now is the first five questions, and then we'll have the full interview available on a separate link come down the road. So if you like this, the rest of it will be available later, but let's go to it. Mr. Joe Schmidt, Irish legend. Welcome, welcome, Irish fans, to the first interview of the 2016 college football season. Extremely excited to be joined by the man who's been manning the middle of the Fighting Irish defense for the last 2 years, just graduated, Joe Schmidt, on what is yet to be named portion of the TNNN podcast. I'm thinking point after, but maybe calling it 5th and 10. If he has any advice on that, I'll let him chime in. First things first, we will not be asking about two topics on this show today. I will not ask Joe about the presidential race, and I will not be asking him about the Notre Dame football quarterback race. Fair?
Wow. Wow, that is fair. I was not expecting that. That is normally the first question anyone asks. So I feel honored to feel that there's more to talk about than just those two things.
Yes, and we are all talking about them plenty at the bars and our own dining room tables. Let's get into the funner stuff, and we'll maybe bring you back later on at some point to get your thoughts on how they're actually playing as a middle linebacker. So what we're going to do what we're going to do here, Irish fans, I got Joe on. We're going to ask him five questions, what he's up to, maybe about what he expects from the team this year, and then five rapid fire. So let's lead that off. First question, Joe, where are you? What are you doing? What's next in your life? How are you doing?
Hey, thanks, I guess, first for having me on the show. You know, I always enjoyed everybody there from TN and NDN. And, you know, it's just an honor to be on. So thank you. I just had shoulder surgery this last week in South Bend. Dr. Radigan and his team worked on me. So I was in South Bend for the last week, which was cool. I was able to go by practice, see coach, all the coaches, for that matter, and some of the guys. And I just got back to Southern California to wrap up a few things before I move up to Palo Alto. I took a job with a venture capital firm called Excel Partners. We do technology investing, in the venture capital space. And I'm really excited. It's going to be an amazing opportunity, and I can't wait to get up there in 3 weeks' time.
And then for those listeners who know me, know that I spent some time in the tech startup world trying to raise money down there in the valley. Man, it's you're going into a crazy world, but massive congratulations. And you're going to see some things, my man. And, man, your rent is going to be out of this world.
Oh, my God. I don't even – I had no concept, really. I mean, I knew – kind of hearing, you know, through friends that had moved to New York or San Francisco, what the rents are like. But until you really go and look and realize that this is the place that you're going to be living for some exorbitant amount of money, it doesn't become real. So I looked for a month just for anything and finally found a pretty good deal. You know, I'm living outside the city, which is closer to work, which is nice. But I'm excited about it, but I don't ever want to do that process again. So I'm happy to be done with it.
Oh man, going from analyzing five wide to analyzing blocks of code and the market size and the cap and all that fun stuff, man, it's going to be crazy. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Well, the second question, as everyone that follows the Irish know that you were the man that knew the ins and outs of Coach Brian Van Gorder, the defensive coordinator's defense, and he trusted you with the play calls and everything that kind of went in and out, and you were a quarterback of the defense. And this question is kind of, if you were, say, example, instead of going to Excel, you're going to be an assistant coach for the defense this year, what would you be advising Coach Van Gorder with the new personnel? What do you want to see more of? More attacking the quarterback, more zone schemes? What do you think that would be beneficial for the squad in the upcoming season?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, it's something that I think, you know, I have the utmost respect for our entire defensive staff and Coach Van Gorder. So, you know, generally the thoughts that I have are the same as theirs. I think, you know, really looking into this season, we've got to generate some more explosive plays on the defensive side of the ball, which has been, I think, well documented. We need to create turnovers, create, ball disruptions at the line of scrimmage from, you know, by the defensive line, linebackers, guys that are rushing, and get to the quarterback. And a lot of the time, you know, you want to be able to get to the quarterback without calling pressure. So that's what, you know, the guys have done a great job in this offseason, you know, really focusing on things of that nature, of the explosive nature, and trying to really get after people. The great part about Coach Van Gorder's defense is that, he allows everyone to have an opportunity to, you know, to make plays. So at this point, it's just more about, you know, fine tuning the execution side. Really understanding your assignments and so that you can make those plays. But that's really what I'm looking forward to seeing this year is, you know, more, you know, some more, quarterback hurries, quarterback pressure, sacks, ball disruptions, and, you know, interceptions and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I think that Irish fans, yeah, it's going to be a different defense, no doubt, without you and Sheldon Day and, a lot of the guys, you know, Romeo Cora, guys that have just been staples there for the last few years. Kind of leading into question number three, remind listeners we're on the line with Joe Schmidt, the captain of Notre Dame's football last year, 2-year starter inside linebacker, off to more exciting things in Silicon Valley. Maybe we'll even see him on a HBO TV show at some point, advising those guys. You know, the quarterback of the defense, that was you for the last couple years. And, the guy expected to take over that role is Niles Morgan, kind of been your understudy. Got a chance to watch how you worked and Jalen Smith worked. What do we expect? What should we expect from a guy like Niles Morgan? What have you seen him as far as his growth under you and his final chance to, you know, take that role on?
You know, well, Niles came in as a freshman, and he really hadn't played in a very sophisticated system. You know, he needed to develop physically a little bit more. And just really kind of settle into the college scheme. And so I think Niles has done an absolutely tremendous job over the last 2 years. I've told him this. And he's given me great confidence in his abilities. I think he's done everything that he can. You know, he's a very hard worker. He's diligent. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him perform now. But yeah, I the transition I saw from day one, you know, when I came back, even just so this last week, and sat in on a meeting was, you know, night and day. It's awesome to see. And I feel really, really, really good for him.
Now, would you, I mean, kind of follow up on that. Would you consider him a guy that leads as a vocal leader? Or is he a guy that is going to be leading by example, or, you know, is he, what kind of guy as a leader on that defense do you expect to see from him?
You know, I think it's hard to say. You got to kind of wait and see once the bullets start flying, you know, how everything kind of goes. You saw a little bit of that his freshman year when he was kind of thrown into the fire. You know, he's got a very loud, you know, commanding voice. But I'm still going to kind of wait and hold judgment on how exactly he's going to go about these things. You know, we've had conversations in the past about, you know, my opinions and, you know, that's the way I feel is the best way to approach certain situations. So I'm kind of excited, you know, for that as well, not only to see his production, but to see how he leads the guys. And at the same time, he still is a junior and a first year starter. So it's very difficult to come into a, you know, a brand new system, especially with guys that are, you know, very, you know, very salty veterans like James Onwalu or Isaac Rochelle or Cole Luke. And those guys, you know, they've played a lot of football games together. So it's kind of, they've all been coming together and it's going to be interesting to see how all those pieces kind of fit together. But obviously as a middle linebacker, you have a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And it's going to be fun to watch. And I want to lean into this next question. I think this kind of is important for Irish fans to understand you as a person and the way you got to become the starting middle linebacker of Notre Dame. You overcame quite a bit of adversity, not offered a scholarship, you walked on, and then even over the last 2 years, when you dig into this Irish team, I mean, the incredible amount of injuries just on the defensive side of the ball the last 2 years, including yours at the end of two seasons ago. You know, I want to ask you, and I think this is going to be something that you'll do over the course of your life. You're talking to young kids and kids who want to, you know, make it in sports or make it in life, and they have adversities of their own. What's that message that you've kind of come from your own experience that you tell kids, you know, at high school camps or whatever, that they need to do to become successful?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I guess to maybe just keep it as brief as I possibly can, because, you know, this is something that I'm actually very passionate about. And I have talked to camps and schools and, you know, just anybody really that wants me to come and speak. I think that it's critical to have, you know, I guess a sort of a structure and a goal, you know, a goal breakout for your life and just how you really want things to go. And to think about everything in the long term. You know, I think it's so easy today, to get lost in the daily details of whatever it is, if it's your Twitter notifications, if it's the text messages, if it's, you know, just whatever you're getting constantly pulled and that incremental, that very average kind of progression throughout your life, it just becomes, you know, sort of a linear path. And I think that if you're able to set a, you know, groundwork of goals. And so for me, I set, you know, I had four categories of goals, you know, for each aspect of my life. And I kind of built towards them, you know, across the board. I think that you can kind of get off that linear average and really it's going to take a little bit of time. You're going to probably dip down in the beginning, but you're going to experience, you know, the power of compounding and the exponential growth that happens at the tail end. And I don't know when that tipping point will be for any of these kids and it takes a lot of faith and a lot of grinding to get there. But, I truly believe that the people that are most successful in this world, you know, use a technique like that. And I hope that kids everywhere can see that and the ones that are passionate enough can use it and be successful.
I think that I have a vision of you in front of a lot of camps. And a lot of athletes and a lot of kids over the rest of your life talking about, you know, how hard you worked and the things that you overcame to get to where you became the captain at the University of Notre Dame when you weren't offered a scholarship. Just an unbelievable story, and it'll never, ever get old for Irish fans. So I want to say this on behalf of everyone. We're so appreciative of your career and the example you set for, you know, so many of us. So thank you.
Wow. Thanks, man. It was a lot of fun for me, so.
Well, it was fun.
Your support as well.
It was fun for us too. And now here's a fun question to close out. This is number five before we go rapid fire. You and I, we both grew up in Orange County, California, USC Trojan Haven, and we were rooting for the Fighting Irish. 5 seasons on campus, you go 3-2, including what I think is most important. You win your final game against USC. What is life like for you now that you get to hang out in California, wherever you are, in the Bay Area or in SoCal, knowing that you got the best of the Trojans in your time in Notre Dame?
Well, that's one of the sweetest things about my experience at Notre Dame. It really is. And really, when I say to Trojan fans is, you know, in games that I played and I was 3-0. So I never lost to them when I was on the field. And I love to give all of my, cause I had a lot of my best friends with the USC. They played at USC. And my high school, modern day high school, is seemingly a USC factory. So it's fun to kind of poke at, you know, the Matt Barkley's of the world or whoever it might be, and rub that in their face a little bit, because for so long, I got the brunt of everything. It didn't matter, you know, what happened when they had Leinart and Reggie Bush. So it's been fun being back in Southern California with a winning record, rather.
I appreciate you pointing out you were not a part of the team that lost in L.A. Your senior season, not your fifth-year season.
Well, I was a part of it.
But you're on the field, yes. So we're not going to pin that one on you.
I would have loved to have helped.
And remind listeners, get him on Twitter. I'm sure he'll be sharing more stories and commentary on Irish football and on the tech scene in Silicon Valley, at Joe Schmidt. IV for Joe Schmidt the fourth. Again, Joe Schmidt IV on Twitter. All right, let's do it. The rapid fire.
That being said, guys, oh yeah, how cool is this Bleach Report thing going to be?
We'll see. I don't know a whole lot about the actual specifics yet.
I feel like a season with was just so special that they had to keep something going.
Well, did you see the quote as Den Brock today said that they polled over 80 recruits for this cycle, and 10% said they watched even just one episode of the series.
Really?
So between it being only available in premium cable, and so many other options to access college athletics video, they may have decided that was not as impactful as we might have hoped. Because I think there's plenty of us that I had Showtime, and I don't have Showtime anymore. I would have bought it again if Notre Dame was on it, but it's not a channel I need, and I can't imagine there's a huge percentage of players that are in houses as well that they go, is this worth $15 a month? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not.
That's fair.
Not to mention, they got a lot of social media to be caught up on. Remember, we used to go home and you had like your two or three shows you watched from 6 to 9, and that was it. Now they can go, they got Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram stories and Facebook, and they got so much other outside stuff. They have to be able to digest them in little segments. So they appeal to the older fan base, absolutely. I watch every Showtime episode religiously, and I would again. But that's not the demo for recruits. And that's where I think they want to see that impact.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good point there as well. All right, gentlemen, so with that being said, we can go and close out week one of year six of Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. Thank you again to Joe Smith for joining us for Steve Herring's new up-and-coming segment that we can't wait to do for you guys each and every week. Thanks again to Westcott Eberts of Burnt Orange Nation for doing our awesome new Know Your Enemy segment. We're going to have another one of those with a Texas writer next week. We got Ryan Austin from the Austin American Statesman. It's Ryan Altolo. Wow, I got that super wrong. I did a pre-record with him that we're going to have on the show as well. So, with that being said, Steve, Jason, it's so glad to have you guys back. Cannot wait to keep this going for another year. And everyone, enjoy your time out there. We are not too far away from week one of the football season. And go Irish.
Go Irish.
Go Irish.